Ideas for squeezing every drop out of the fleeting Maine summer. It's already late August. The long days of summer are getting shorter. Families are shopping for school supplies. Geese are beginning to head south. But don't lament. There is a bright side. Soon, Maine's most popular tourist destinations will be less crowded. The weather forecast for this week and beyond is terrific. There is plenty of time to find a new swimming hole, beach, trail, restaurant, garden, or island. And you know, for many people, September is the best month of all. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll be sharing ideas for getting the most out of what's left of summer. Do you have a secret spot or event to share? Strategies for beating the Labor Day weekend crunch. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the MPBN studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. For most of us, summer in Maine goes by way too fast. But it's not over yet. There's still time to explore and discover the abundance of end-of-season things to do all around our region. Maybe it's a secret hideaway or a family-friendly festival. Or maybe it's someplace that's right in your backyard. We have three experts here to share some ideas, but we want to hear yours as well. Joining me in our studio, Brian Kevin. He's managing editor of Down East Magazine. Sharon Nickerson is a travel agent at AAA Northern New England. And Tony Cameron is director of marketing and communications with the Maine Tourism Association. As always, we want to hear from you. Do you need ideas for something to do or something educational for your kids? One last blast. Do you have a favorite place to share? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Brian, I have the brand new edition of Down East in my paws right now, September issue. So you all were thinking kind of how we were thinking. It's not over yet. September is a great time to get out and about. Beautiful, beautiful month. Sparkling blue skies. The water's warm from being heated up all summer.
Warmish.
I call it warm. So the cover of the magazine says Hidden Maine. How did you conceive of this idea of Hidden Maine, and what were the criteria for a Hidden Maine place?
Yeah, so we made a list of every place that somebody has said in the last year, don't ever write about this place, and then we wrote about it.
Oh, great.
No, that's not exactly what we do. We sat around and we argued about the places that we're fond of that don't tend to get a lot of the marquee status, that aren't Acadia, that aren't Baxter, excuse me, this sort of thing. And then, you know, we do what we do, and we tried to come up with a good geographic spread and some different landforms. We hit a lot of Northwood stuff because, you know, one thing about the tail end of the summer here is that the bugs have let up on us a little bit. So you can head up north, go up north of the Pine Tree Curtain and hit a place like Little Wilson Falls, which we've got on here, and the Boarstone Mountain Audubon Sanctuary. Are you familiar with this place?
I'm not.
It's a gorgeous area. There's some beautiful photography in here.
Again, tell me what it's called.
The Boarstone Mountain Audubon Sanctuary. It's like a little bit shy of 2,000 acres of just like classic Northwoods high country, a lot of room above tree line. It's a little bit like north of Dover. The Audubon Society runs a retreat up there, but it's just that kind of green carpet spreading out across the hills for as far as you can see. It's an aerobic hike, and it's pretty far out there. That's a lot of these places. Some of them are a little bit closer to population centers, but some of them, you might have like Great Pond Mountain is this really cool spot just a little bit north of Orland. You've got, you know, nice town. Bucksport is just down the way, but you can go, I don't know if it's 20 minutes drive, and find this area they call the Wildlands that you don't really hear about all that much, and you feel like you're 3 hours from any place.
So, all right. Many of these places are places you'd recommend for a weekend or taking a couple days off of work.
Clara.
Yeah,
especially if you're traveling from the Portland metro or from outside of Maine, for sure. But it's just, you know, not necessarily, some of these are hidden in the sense that they're actually like a little bit hard to find if you don't happen to have directions or, you know, can't Google them up or look in the magazine. And other places are hidden in the sense where, like, maybe you've heard of the giant stairs in Harpswell, this beautiful like rock formation along the water, but it's not a place that you see on the cover of guidebooks necessarily. It's not a place that is, it's a little bit unsung. So there's a lot of good stuff like that.
Right. Well, let me turn to you, Tony. It's interesting because as marketing director for Maine Department of Tourism, I imagine you have a lot of sort of forces pulling at you. You know, folks who, you're trying to help people manage their trips to the marquee places, such as Acadia National Park or maybe one of the really popular beach communities, but you also want to steer people to some of these hidden gems. What kind of trends are you seeing, and what are you hoping that more and more people will explore?
Yeah, that's a great point. people know of Bar Harbor and Acadia National Park, and that's a big brand, and it's a big identity that people relate to. But there's a lot of the park that people don't always get to explore or see or know about, like the western side of the island in Southwest Harbor and Tremont. That side of the island is absolutely beautiful, and it's a part of the park that a lot of people don't get to see. The Scuta Peninsula is another part of that with Winter Harbor. It's a whole other side of the park that people just don't necessarily take the time to explore a little bit more. And so we like to try to educate them and try to show them that, look, Bar Harbor is an absolutely wonderful place. You have to go and explore it. And most of the time they want to do that anyways. But if you want to get away from the crowds a little bit, here are some places a little bit off the beaten path and still be exploring Acadia National Park.
And Tony, what's considered tourism season in Maine is expanding, right? It used to sort of be Memorial Day to Labor Day. What do you consider it now?
Well, honestly, we are a true four-season state. The snowmobiling is outstanding, although we had a little bit of a rough year with the snow this year and then with skiing. But, when it comes to the summer season, it's really extended all the way through mid to late October. A big part of that, it actually has to do with the cruise ships. Now that the cruise ships are coming in, to ports like Bar Harbor and Portland, but even to some of the smaller ports like Booth Bay Harbor and Rockland, it keeps things open. And with things open, people come by land. And so the shoulder season really goes through the end of October, which is outstanding because that's some of the best weather that we have, in my opinion, here in the state is September and October.
Well, and that's a really good point. If you have lived in Maine a long time and you have an assumption that certain places have pretty much shut down after Labor Day, it might be time to reexamine that assumption and assume that places are going to be open. Sharon, thank you for joining us here today.
Sure.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You live in southern Maine, and I think this is really interesting because so many people in Maine put a pencil or a pen where they live and head north or east. I think that a lot of Mainers don't head south. No. And, a lot of people from New York and Massachusetts come to York County beaches and towns. What would you say to somebody who lives in Bangor? Give them a pitch to why they should come to York County.
Oh, boy. Well, it's probably definitely a lot busier down our way, down in southern Maine, than up in the woods, should I say. But we have some great restaurants. I think a big, big tourist attraction is, of course, seeing the Bush compound. Everybody wants to see the Bush compound, driving around and taking a peek there. And you never know who you're going to see or when you're going to see them while dining in Kennebunkport. We have just opened up Vinegar Hill, which is an entertaining place, plays, comedians, and then the Ogunquit Playhouse, of course. So, yeah, it's probably not. I mean, it definitely has its beautiful views, but heading north, you're getting more into the woods. And I think that southern Maine is more of our city on the other side of Portland.
Mm-hmm. I love that, Tony, we put a list that I believe the Visit Maine list, is that put out by the Maine Department of Tourism?
Is through the Maine Office of Tourism.
Maine Office of Tourism. One of the things I loved on that was that it had Flo's hot dogs.
Yes.
And I should share that as a young reporter years ago, I made the mistake of going to Flo's hot dogs and then climbing the fire tower at Mount Agamemnicus. I wouldn't recommend that particular combination of activities, maybe one at a time or in a different order. But, you know, there are all these little places like Flo's Hot Dogs that I think people who are not locals don't know about. So why don't I ask each of you, Brian, is there a hole in the wall, a small restaurant, small diner that you would say, gosh, if you're in that part of Maine, absolutely stop by and see this place?
Sure. Can I do bar as long as I'm picking up? I'm a Mid-Coast guy, but I'll pick up on what Sharon said about Southern Maine because we have, Sea Point Beach is this really cool, quiet beach in Kittery, a good strolling beach that's mentioned in Hidden
Maine.
Sea Point Beach, yeah. Lousy parking if you're not a local, but that kind of keeps the crowds away, and it's a lovely place to wander. But I like Kittery a bunch, in part for eating. Actually, largely for eating. I'm not an outlets guy. I don't shop much, but I would go down to Kittery Foresight, and we have a piece coming up about this in November just for the dining scene down there. There's a little bar called the Wallingford that's fairly new, which I don't know if there's 30 seats in that place. It's pretty tiny. Have you been in there?
I have not.
Oh, and that's a great place to get a cocktail. Right on Foresight, I would recommend that highly.
Okay, your turn. Tony.
Well, I grew up in Brunswick, and I currently live in Brunswick. And so one of my favorite summertime places to go and eat is Fat Boy Drive-In, where it's a car hop and you order from your car and they bring out the food. You can't eat inside, but it is a small dining room. And the chocolate fraps and the Whopper baskets and the BLTs are just – it's the perfect summer food on a hot day. Absolutely love it.
Okay. Fat Boy, your turn.
Mine's
Sharon.
Probably – it's not really a hole in the wall – But the Village Tavern in West Kennebunk, everybody always tends to go towards the water, but it's tucked away. It used to be a post office in West Kennebunk, and now it's a restaurant. Delicious. Great. Every time. Consistent.
The Village Tavern.
Village Tavern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love to hear from you all in the audience. 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Send an email to talk@mpbn.net. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. Wondering about end of summer strategies. Do any of you have something say, oh, I do this, but I do it at 6 o'clock in the morning because the crowds are going to hit at 10 o'clock. Or I do this, but never on the weekend. Any little tips like that? Tony, go. I see you grinning.
Well, I have two small children, and I feel like this show came at the perfect time for me because just last week, I did take a few days off to do the last minute summer things with my two little guys and my family. And so I wanted to go to quiet fishing spots with my son during the weekday when I knew nobody else was going to be around. And we also – Funtown is celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. And so we went Thursday night rather than during the day. And they have discounted rates after 3 p.m. and 6 p.m., I believe. And it was fantastic. The weather was absolutely beautiful. It wasn't too hot. The kids had a great time. And we got to experience fishing and Funtown in the same day. It was outstanding.
That's great. A great practical tip, Funtown after 3 p.m. And would really work for a bunch of working folks who maybe could sneak out of work early, but maybe not take the whole day at this time of year. What about you, Brian?
This is maybe more geared towards the times of year when it is really busy and you have a hard time getting a seat. But this is maybe a little broad, but I would say eat at places that aren't restaurants per se. There are so many spots around Maine that happen to have a counter serving food, sometimes amazing food, but serving food isn't necessarily their bread and butter, so to speak. We have a piece in this same road trip issue in September that's all about the phenomenon of the general store and what the general store looks like in 2016. And a lot of these places, you know, they sell bait or they sell ammo or they sell any number of things. Food is just sort of off to the side. It might not be your first pick for like a destination meal, but a joint like the New Gloucester Village Store, when you were talking about holes in the wall, they have some of the best breakfasts as far as I'm concerned. Breakfast sandwiches in particular in the state of Maine. And there's a handful of different places that are in this piece where you can get a fantastic meal, but it might not like necessarily be on your radar as a restaurant.
Okay, Sharon, any tips? Any thoughts?
Just piggybacking on what you're saying, we have found typically Sunday nights are a great night to go out to eat. It's not as busy, the waiting line isn't as long as you would get, say, Friday or Saturday. Also, to shop do it on a nice day. I know you'd like to be at the beach, but everybody else is at the beach. So hitting the mall or anywhere else shopping, no lines, no waiting.
Okay. And outlet stores, my tip is to go when the tourists are gone. That's when the prices drop. Somebody with a teenage daughter who likes to shop. We're going to go to the calls now. I'm going to start with Donna, who's calling from Steuben. Hi, Donna. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. I wanted to tell you about quite an adventure. There is something called the Maine Sculpture Trail, and this consists of 34 large stone sculptures scattered in towns from the Bangor, University of Maine area, Bucksport, Castine, down the Blue Hill Peninsula, Bar Harbor, the Scudic Peninsula, and on down the coast to Lubeck, Cowes, and Eastport. And these were made in 5 international sculpture symposiums
right.
held on the Scudic Peninsula. And it's just a great adventure to take a map and follow the trail.
Donna, how long would you recommend if one was going to do that? Is that a weekend? Is that a day? Is it several days?
You could probably do it in a weekend. I don't know if you could do it in 2 days. It'd be pretty exhausting.
Okay. So, and it might be something that you hit part of it when you're in the area for some other reason, too.
Yes, absolutely. And the interesting, exciting thing is it's now a two-nation vacation activity because St. John, New Brunswick, is doing their 3rd symposium, which is modeled on the Scudic International Sculpture Symposium. And so eventually there will be over 60 sculptures for people to hunt down. And a good place to find information about this would be our website, which is scudicsculpture.org.
I've run into a few of those, never purposefully setting out on the sculpture trail, although I guess I ought to one of these days, but just gallivanting around Scudic and points north, and there's some really cool stuff out there.
Well, Donna, thanks for the tip. We'll add it to our MPBN Maine Calling Facebook page. I appreciate it. We're going to go to Elizabeth, who's calling from China, Maine. Hi, Elizabeth. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Well, good afternoon. I was just writing down that website because my question deals with exactly that. I've lived in Maine all my life, and now the kids are grown and gone. I'm looking for some different activities. And I looked online this summer for lobster boat races, which is something I'd never done before. And unfortunately, the website I came to had bad information. Those races actually weren't happening when they were listed, and I fortuitously called ahead to the town office of the town and found out, so I saved myself a trip. So my question is, what are some really good websites, and I think you just mentioned one as I missed it while we were switching over, for people to get tips on this local stuff, and also is there a place where people can add their own tips besides just this kind of a call-in situation?
Is there a great website?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few great resources out there, and depending on what you're looking for. Statewide information, both visit Maine.com, which is the Office of Tourism, and then MaineTourism.com, which is the Maine Tourism Association website. They're both great statewide websites. If you want to get really specific, I really advise you to go to a lot of the local chambers of commerce websites. For information, and if you know that I believe the lobster boat races in particular, it's actually a lobster boat racing association,
right.
It's unfortunate sometimes there is outdated information that does get out there, but luckily we live in a time where if there is outdated information, there's generally a Facebook page or a local resource that you can rely on to help you find that right information. And I really encourage you to call the local chamber, call the Maine Tourism Association. We're always happy to help out, find out any resources for you.
Okay, believe it or not, we have to take our first break. Thanks, Elizabeth, for your call. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mpbn.net, tweet @MaineCalling, or post to our Facebook page.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does the Natural Resources Council of Maine, protecting the nature of Maine today and for generations to come. Learn more at nrcm.org. And the Central Maine Heart and Vascular Institute, offering minimally invasive heart and vascular surgery. cmhvi.org.
You know them, those friendly Uber or Lyft drivers who seem so happy in their work. Well, Talman Marco says they're not.
They really hate ride-sharing companies. Ride-sharing companies have been abusing them. They're treating them like a commodity.
The founder of a ride-hailing startup who wants to give drivers a stake in its future. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's coming up this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Later today on This American Life.
They look like your average moms, but they're also
gun packing, hard hitting, private investigators.
We find out how a group of housewives becomes private investigators on television and end up in the middle of an actual mystery. PI Moms, later today.
Well, that's coming up this evening at 11 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, ideas for what to do in these waning days of summer. With me in our studio, Tony Cameron with the Maine Tourism Association, Brian Kevin with Down East Magazine, and Sharon Nickerson with Northern New England AAA. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We have a Facebook post from Nettie. This Saturday, August 27th, there will be a free outdoor circus event happening in Norway, Maine. The Nevaje Dance Circus presents Into the Blue. So you can find out more on the event page. Nettie, I invite you to post information about that on the MPBN Maine Calling Facebook page. So Norway, Maine, this Saturday, a free outdoor circus event. Let's talk about some other events. Sharon, what are events that you love?
Yeah, we have the American Folk Festival, which will be going on August 26th through the 28th. That's on the Bangor waterfront. They have some great music, dancing, lots of fun for the whole family.
This weekend.
Yes. Yep. And then the Booth Bay Harbor Fest, September 2nd through the 9th. Once again, food, music, art, entertainment. It goes on for 10 days. And then, of course, September, our fairs, our county and town fairs are coming up. Everybody loves the fairs in the fall. We have the Cumberland, the Freiburg Fair. There's been a number of great outdoor concerts at the Bangor Waterfront Pavilion and the Maine State Pier that we've had this summer, and more coming up.
Okay, Brian, do you have a favorite event?
I have a favorite event, and I have a Down East event that I like a lot. The Common Ground Country Fair is, it's like cliche to mention it, but I'm sure there are people out there hearing this who are going, what's that? It's, when's the equinox? That's when it is. It's like late-ish September. I don't know the dates off the top of my head, but I look forward to it every year. Last year, and I don't mean to brag, but I won third place in the manure tossing contest, and it was like one of the cooler things that's happened to me in 36 years. We also have an event coming up a week from Thursday. It's on September 1st. It's called the Art of Giving Gala. It's something we do every year. This is in Scarborough, actually, at the Landing at Pine Point. And it's like there's donated art. You bid to win this art. I'm not a gala guy, generally speaking. I only own one nice shirt, but I've been to this 2 years in a row now. It's super fun. The Maine Youth Rock Orchestra, who I love, is going to be there, and that's more of a metro kind of really, really cool hang. There's information about it at downeast.com, obviously.
Okay, and other than the MPBN community calendar, which is incredibly popular, where, Tony, do people go to get sort of a summary of events in Maine?
Again, a number of different resources, but MaineTourism.com has a list of events throughout the state. Visit Maine.com as well. Both great resources for our overall events in the state.
Downeast.com, we've started doing a calendar in the last year, and it's pretty comprehensive, although I'll be honest, I often tell people to go to the MPBN community calendar because it's just very good, and it's user-submitted, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, yeah. It is, and it is, and we should say that to our audience is sometimes people will call me about an idea for a program for Maine Calling, and I'll say, well, you have put this on the community calendar, haven't you? And I feel as though maybe people think I'm brushing them off, but we know that people really use the MPBN community calendar. It's been around for a long time. It's really well established. So if you have an event you're putting on, put something there and use it. If you haven't tried it out already, go to our website and check out the community calendar because it's really interesting what you'll find. I'm going to go to Pax, who's calling from Bethel. Hi, Pax. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
My question is more about tourism in general. So a lot of those basically activities that you listed early on, like the 10 places that are hard to get to, are natural areas with a lot of wildlife. And I know that tourism has been really positive for Maine. I know that this year it's booming with the good weather and everything. But I haven't really heard anyone talk about the sustainability of tourism in wildlife areas in the long term for the state of Maine. And I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely something to be said about smart development. Anytime you're looking at someplace, especially if you're building it up and putting tourism sort of infrastructure in. I'm a Maine transplant. I spent the last bunch of years before I moved here in Greater Yellowstone, which is kind of, I think, it's a place that inspires in me a lot of... maybe optimism is not quite the right word, but here you've got a place that draws 3.5 million visitors every year and yet manages to funnel them in such a way that you preserve basically 3 million acres of some of the best wildlife habitat in the country, arguably the best, more or less untouched. And it's because of terrific design as far as the loop roads go and that sort of thing. And the National Park Service has a terrific reputation for that sort of thing. They're a model we can look to as we look at how to... utalize and encourage use of places like this without stepping on the great resource that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. Tourism is absolutely vital to the Maine state economy. Not forgetting that it is a recreational treasure, and we need to certainly protect that. There's a lot of land trusts and the Maine Audubon Society. As Brian was saying, the National Park does a great job to protect the resources that we have here. So the reasons why people come here are always there, and we're certainly mindful of that with tourism. But it is tourism is critically important to the state, and it's when it does well, it's a huge trickle down effect for the rest of the state and jobs and the economy.
Thanks for your call, Pax. We have an email here from Roberta. She says, How about places for solo older women traveling? I'm in Midcoast, and sometimes I get caught in couples or family activity that I don't quite fit in. Thoughts?
I am not older or a woman, but I did just tag along recently on we have a trips division called Down East Adventures, and I got to tag along on a paddling trip that they did this last week, and got chummy with a recently divorced older woman who was out there paddling, and it was the first time she'd really been out doing this since her divorce, since she was traveling solo. And her take and my impression was that the notion of doing a group trip was really kind of spectacular because you suddenly had this instant group of peers, some of whom were single, some of whom were older, some of whom were younger, some of whom were coupled up. And that group dynamic can probably go a long way.
All right. And Sharon, I know as a travel agent, I'm sure you work with people who travel solo.
Absolutely. And also, like what he was saying, we do a lot of tours. And we have a lot of single people that do the tours. We have different companies that we book with that have either smaller tour groups or the larger tour groups.
And throughout Maine, a lot of the bus companies also arrange all sorts of tours as well. Everything from your community's community center to something much larger like a AAA, explore those group tours. Let's see. We have an email from Patrick. Let's not forget the Union Fair / Maine Wild Blueberry Festival going on right now, a true Maine agricultural fair. Going to Liz, who's calling from Lovell, a beautiful place. Liz, living in Lovell, do you ever just sort of stay put?
Oh, yeah. My daughter said, aren't you going to call about our beautiful Keyser Lake? And I said, well, actually, I'm going to call about another place a little bit north of us because I think Keyser Lake gets its share of people who already have discovered it. But I had this little thought of a package day trip for folks. And for the woman who's traveling solo, it would also be an option. But traveling through Bethel and stopping at the Good Food Store and getting some of their sandwiches to go. Their Italians are pretty exceptional, jam-packed full of vegetables and yummy meats, and then going up to Grafton Notch. And I think Grafton Notch is an awesome place to go because you've got so many different options on your way in. You've got Step Falls, you've got Scruger Falls, Mother Walker Falls, and any of the swimming spots along the Bear River, but a beautiful, either easy or challenging hike up Table Rock. You can go the gradual route or the steeper route and get an exceptional view and kind of get the whole package deal of beauty in Maine.
I'm taking notes as you talk. Thanks, Liz, for your tips. So I appreciate it. Headed to Bethel, repeat the name of the store where you recommend the Italian sandwiches.
The Good Food Store. It's across from the Irving, and it's run by a couple who used to it used to be a brewery store. But the Good Food Store, it's got natural foods as well as just regular foods to go, and they make exceptional sandwiches.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your tip, Liz, and have a great day. We're going to go to Bar Harbor and Kristen. Hi, Kristen. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having my call. I'm calling from the 1932 Criterion Theater in Bar Harbor.
Yay.
And I just want to encourage, thank you. Woo. I just wanted to encourage people to take advantage of theater in the summer because although we're open year-round, we have a very hot and happening summer season that's just finishing up this week. We have a Steel Harbor local resident coming back to play at our stage, Chris Doyle, and he's performing with an all-Mainer jazz quartet on Saturday night. That'll be at 8 o'clock. And then we have the Frogtown Mountain Puppeteers, a local puppet troupe, coming back to our stage on this Sunday, which is a great family show. All tickets are $5. That's at 4 o'clock. And I also want to give a shout-out to the Barn Arts Collective, which is also on the island here, and they are putting on two shows. One is at our theater called The Unknown Adventure Crew, and they're just finishing that up. It's been running all summer. It's a live, interactive, original rock musical for kids. And they're putting on another show called The Traveling Musicians at Chummy's Boathouse this weekend. So, yeah, I would just encourage people to take advantage of the theater that's around them in Maine. It's all over the place, and it's really, really amazing.
Kristen, thanks for your call, and I encourage you to put something on MPBN Maine Calling Facebook page as well. Thanks.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Our number 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mpbn.net. Where is your secret place that you are willing to share with others for late summer enjoyment? Is it a swimming hole? Is it a spot to hike, a spot with a great view? Give us a call. 1-800-399-3566. We're going to head to Cutler. Hi, Lori. Cutler is a spectacular place. I've been there.
Oh, I'm so glad. I would like to invite everybody to come to the real Down East. The Bold Coast Trail is amazing. Captain Andy can take you out of Cutler Harbor on a puffin tour. We have lots of hidden gems and places to eat, including the Lubeck Brewing Company, where you can get locally grown organic meals. We have so much to offer, classical music at Summer Keys and ATV trails and the Blueberry Festival that just happened.
So Lori, you're recommending Down East Magazine, but as Brian is here, but Down East Maine, if somebody lives in Maine and has lived in Maine his or her own whole life but never gone down east, tell them, how different is it where you live?
Well, I was a professor at the University of Southern Maine and was supervising students in a joint program with UMM, UMaine Machias, and fell in love with it up here. The people are amazing. And I walk with crutches, and I'm here to tell you that our – oh, no, I dropped.
No, you're still there.
Oh, okay. something sounded like it dropped. Our trails are handicap accessible. The Rope Bluffs trails are awesome. I can do a good chunk of the Bold Coast Trail even walking with crutches. Our outdoor people do an amazing job keeping the trails open and accessible. the beauty up here is just, it's breathtaking. And you were right about autumn. My first autumn up here when the blueberry fields turned to that magenta color, and you have the ocean stretching out blue and the blue sky, the fall foliage and the magenta blueberry fields, it's breathtaking.
Okay, so we're all packing our bags, Brian.
Oh, yeah. The Bold Coast Trail. Sometimes with trails, I think about sort of like rise to run, like effort to pay off. And she makes a really great point that the Bold Coast Trail is not necessarily the most aerobic hike you'll ever do. But for scenery, it's terrific. We have a piece on the current issue that has to do with Bike Maine, this awesome biking extravaganza. It was written last year. This year's Bike Maine, as the caller can probably tell you, is taking place along the Bold Coast. And it's a gorgeous route. It's sold out all the heck. You're not going to be signing up anytime soon. But you can go up there and see a bazillion cyclists go by. Captain Andy also was, I think, our best boat ride in the July's Best of Maine issue. People love him. And Machias Seal Island and the puffins up there are terrific.
Yeah, all right.
There
go
definitely
ahead.
Is a lot going on down east. I mean, there's a little later on, there's the Eastport Pirate Festival, too, which I believe Eastport actually invades Lubeck, which is exciting. And then, of course, you have Campobello Island, which is right there as
sure.
well, which there's a lady that mentioned the Two Nation Vacation, and that is truly the Two Nation Vacation right there with the FDR International Park.
But either get your passport or your
yes,
passport card
absolutely.
If you're going to do that.
Absolutely.
It's different than it used to be. We do have to take another break. Lori, thanks for your enthusiastic call about Down East Maine. Our number 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back.
You make Maine calling possible, as does Roosevelt Campobello International Park, summer home of the Roosevelts. Free admission across the bridge from Lubeck. FDR.net. And Casella, committed to boosting recycling rates statewide through its One Bin, Zero Sort program. Casella, giving resources new life. Coming up tomorrow, August 23rd, it's MPBN Day at the Portland Sea Dogs. Our super friends at Hadlock Field have generously offered to host us and offer you, our members, viewers, and listeners, a ticket discount. And there's more. The first 800 people in the stadium will score a Morning Edition host, Erwin Gratz, bobblehead. And, of course, Clifford the Big Red Dog from our PBS Kids lineup will be on hand to greet you, and he'll be trying his hand at a first pitch before the game. That's tomorrow, August 23rd, at Hadlock Field. It's MPBN Day at Portland Sea Dogs. Visit mpbn.net for more information. And coming up in just about 20 minutes in our 2 o'clock public affairs hour, City Arts and Lectures welcomes American history scholar Joseph Ellis. Joseph Ellis is the author of 9 books, including His Excellency George Washington. His latest book, The Quartet, Orchestrating the Second American Revolution, 1783 to 1789, reveals some surprising truths about our country's founding. Again, that's in 20 minutes here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, ideas for things to do around Maine before summer ends. Joining me today, Sharon Nickerson is with Northern New England AAA. Brian Kevin is with Down East Magazine, and Tony Cameron is with the Maine Tourism Association. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. We're going to go to Brunswick, and Andre. Hi, Andre. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. I was just going to remind people of all the art walks that happen all around Maine. I know that Portland's art walk is the first Friday. I know that this Friday there's an art walk in Belfast, and people can go to the Belfast Creative Coalition's website to check that out. But I think there are a lot of towns in Maine now that are doing these art walks, and they're fantastic.
All right. Everybody here's nodding.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrea.
Rockland has one these days, too. It's probably had it for a while, but with the opening of the new Center for Maine Contemporary Art in downtown Rockland this summer, that art walk just got a lot cooler.
All right. Thanks for your call. We have a Maine Calling Facebook post from Allison. The Hidden Gem, Mid-Coast Conservancy's Hidden Valley Nature Center, 1,000 pristine acres with nearly 30 miles of trails for running, biking, horseback riding, and winter sports, skiing, snowshoeing, fat tire biking, and a fantastic place to spend a day. Great for kids. They have huts and a yurt that can be rented for overnight. A great adventure without having to travel too far. So thanks, Allison, for posting that.
I was just there yesterday at a music festival. It's the greatest. I live down the road in Damariscotta, but I heartily applaud. There's so much you can do out there, and it's just kind of tucked away.
So where on the Mid-Coast is it?
Jefferson.
Jefferson, the Mid-Coast Conservancy Hidden Valley Nature Center. Okay, going to Dean, who's calling from North Berwick. Hi, Dean.
Hi there. I just wanted to say I live close to one of the Great Works Regional Land Trust properties. And it's a really beautiful spot, and they have other spots that are beautiful and really special spots for me, but I suppose I'm willing to share.
The Great Works Regional Land Trust properties. If somebody goes online, can they find maps to that?
Yes, they do have a website and really nice directions to those properties.
Great. And, you know, I love the Berwick area anyway. I mean, it's really historic and fun, especially if you're a fan of Sarah Orne Jewett.
Absolutely. Her house in South Berwick. And there's also really easy access to a lot of the little beaches, which are great to hit early in the morning.
Well, thanks for your tip. We're going to move up to Orono now. Orono and Steve. Hi, Steve. Go ahead. What's your tip?
I just got back from a week in Vinyl Haven. I think they have a minimum of 3 land trusts, and if you want to have a different place to see a sunset or a sunrise, swim in two different quarries. It used to be the Granite. Schoonafair has a song about Vinyl Haven, and it's I think it's unique in that, you know, you got to go 15 miles out with a ferry, and the only way back is on the ferry. Leave your car behind for free at the Oceanside High School, and I've lived in Maine all my life, and I still go out there and still can't believe the it's kind of leaving the world behind and going to one of the most spectacular, beautiful places, which Maine has many, but Vinyl Haven certainly. And you'll get tired of waving to everybody because that's what they do. I stopped counting at 500 on the week, that waving to people. Yeah, they're just a friendly bunch a lot. And but go out and experience it. Just the ride out and back is incredible.
Steve, I love your tip, too, about Vinyl Haven Island, that you leave your car behind, because I think people might be nervous and think, if I leave my car behind, is everything walkable? But you say yes. You can
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah, you can leave it behind. You can pay to park right in the ferry lot if you want, and there's other things, but if you want to leave it for free and get on there and just a ride over and back. You go past the Rockland breakwater and see that lighthouse. It's just incredible. I think it's breathtaking, but I'm prejudiced, I guess.
Well, I love Vinyl Haven, too. Thanks so much for your call. I'm going to move on to York and Ava. Hi, Ava. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. We have a joke here in York, especially at the harbor where a lot of us walk our dogs, that we have to keep our secrets close to the vest because we already have so many people coming in. But I will say, for the town itself, comparative to the region, it's a very large town geographically. So as you mentioned earlier in the program, we have Mount Agamenticus and trails, but you have many different beaches. But for the town folks, come Labor Day, we do all wave goodbye and then take the roads back, especially those leading north on a Friday or south on a Sunday, because it's absolutely crazy. And I don't know if that's ever mentioned in the article. I'll get the articles to read them. But you just basically, unless you know secret ways, cannot depart on a Sunday. Let's say you have a wedding somewhere. It's just getting worse and worse on 95, and that's an issue, I think. You know, so many people consider the state of Maine a jewel and their go-to place, that they're all up here, but then there really is only one way to depart unless you get a helicopter or a boat.
Well, and I think, Ava, you make a good point. And Sharon, AAA studies this. Really, you don't want to be coming into Maine on a Friday afternoon, and you don't want to be leaving on a Sunday afternoon if you can at all help it, do you?
Yesterday, actually, I got caught up in it. I was heading south. Big mistake. I thought where it was nice, Sunday afternoon, people would wait a little later. So I left right after lunch, and I sat and traffic. Right. It probably took me an hour and a half or so to get to Portsmouth yesterday. Very frustrating. So I definitely can hear you there. But yeah, absolutely. I agree with you that things have definitely have picked up. And I think it's because the economy has gotten better. The, you know, the price of gas is lower. And I think people are extending their weekends. I'm finding also Thursday night on 295 people coming in. So,
yeah. So if you're thinking about Southern Maine, think about that. But Ava, I'm really glad you called because York, I think, is in a way one of the secrets in Maine. I think a lot of people from away know about York, but a lot of people in Maine don't know. It's really kind of three towns. There's York Harbor, York Beach, and York Harbor, York Beach, and the old York with the old Gale, the oldest jail in America. Who knew?
I got to hang out in the arcade on York Beach. Does anybody remember the name of it off the top of the head? This was years ago for a piece at Down East, and I never right on the boardwalk at York Beach, the giant arcade. Anybody who's been in the neighborhood has seen it on Short Sands Beach, if I'm not mistaken. That's an amazing spot for, like they say, kids of all ages or people who don't mind being an adult surrounded by 10-year-olds playing video games. Also, my colleague just got back from, I think it's pronounced Somme Brewery, S-O-M-E, which is in York, and he said their tasting room was terrific. I haven't been yet, but I'd like to go check it out.
So, Ava, we're sending people to you after Labor Day. Is that okay?
But the new saying for the AAA person there, I think we've coined it now, Thursday is the new Friday.
Yes, absolutely.
It really has. And I think you're accurate as to the perfect storm of low gas prices. And correct me if I'm wrong, a theory that with all the potential issues with flying and terrorism, people are staying little closer to home and say, you know what, let's just go locally, you know, even if it's in New England or just, you know, in the periphery, and they are coming by the droves. And so, yeah, Labor Day is coming around, and then we all take our vacation in September. It's
But it's almost extended to Columbus Day, I think, now. Our tourism is definitely, it has expanded.
Columbus Day is the new Labor Day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ava, thanks for your call. We're going to move on to Kathy, also in Southern Maine. Kathy in Kennebunk. Hi, go ahead.
Hi, Jen. I just wanted to make a little correction. The Village Tavern in West Kennebunk is not the old post office. The post office is still where it always has been. It's in the old Cummings Market, and it's a very nice restaurant. People should know it is expensive, but it's very nice. And also, the new Cummings Market is right near the southbound turnpike entrance, and it has great sandwiches, subs, sodas, beer, chips, everything to take for a trip.
Well, Kathy, thanks for the info. We're going to move on to Camden and Anna. Hi, Anna. Go ahead.
Hi there. I just wanted to mention that out of Rockland, I work on one of the schooners there, the schooner Ladona and Stephen Tabor, and we sail through mid-October, and that's a great end-of-summer activity. 3-day, 4-day trips out of the town there to experience Maine from a different point of view.
And so some people might make an assumption that the schooner trips are all booked through the season, but you say no, there's room on some of them?
Nope, you can even call last minute, and there's a possibility of a cabin or two open that you can just join in. You can come down, take a look at the boats, and give the office a call, and they'd be happy to make some reservations for you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
And, you know, you can't say enough about the power of last-minute cancellations. You were asking about tips earlier. I mean, this isn't unique to late summer necessarily. But, man, never assume that things are booked up. Always call because there's always somebody who canceled and there's always some thrilled tour operator to get that call and fill that cabin or whatever it might be at the last minute.
Good tips. Going to South Berwick and Hillary. Hi, Hillary. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. I just wanted to call. A woman called in earlier mentioning Step Falls and Struthers Falls. Up north in that area, a little bit past Bethel and Newry, it's like you're heading the Sunday River, there's Frenchman's Hole. And it's just the neatest little cliff with a natural waterfall and slide. And it's probably about like a 20-foot drop. But if you don't mind heights, and there's like a natural little ladder kind of carved into the wall that you can climb back up, it's really neat and a cool experience to do. And the locals can point you there because if you don't know, it's like down a dirt road and
over a wooden bridge, but it's awesome.
All right, so two people recommending the Newry, Bethel area and all the incredible natural beauty around there. Do people still drive around with a DeLorme Gazetteer in their car with all these natural places circled and highlighted? I have one, but I know that I'm a little older than some of the travelers listening today.
I actually witnessed it just on just this past Thursday at the local fishing hole where I took my son. This couple pulled over and they pulled out the gazetteer map and they were looking around. I thought it was fantastic because we're in the middle of Durham, the middle of a road that really no tourist should ever be on. And they were, and I thought it was fantastic.
Right. And it still has those, all these great kind of places you're mentioning, Frenchman's Hole and, Table Rock, and those kind of places are marked on that gazetteer. I think we have time for one more call. So let's see. We'll go to Kate, who's calling from Brooklyn. Hi, Kate. Go ahead. Speaking of beautiful Brooklyn, huh?
A quick mention. Earlier, you had talked about down east. And in Machiasport, there's a wonderful beach known as Jasper Beach. And if anyone has an interest in rocks or geology, it's just a fabulous beach. Every stone is gorgeous. And it makes a lovely car trip, pack a picnic lunch, and spend part of the day examining these beautiful, beautiful stones on Jasper Beach.
Jasper Beach in Machiasport. Thanks, Kate. And I fibbed. Sure. I think I have time for one more call. We're going to go to Sarah calling from Portland. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, I was just calling. I just this year discovered the Coastal Maine Botanic Garden up in Boothay. I'm from Portland. I've lived here my whole life in this little gem up there. And I discovered last year at Gardens Aglow, we went back and visited their trails, and it's just, I talked to people all over Southern Maine who've never heard of it before, and so it's definitely worth a trip.
It mellows out a lot in late summer, too, actually, like September, October. I don't know what time they shut down-ish for the year. They go on like a skeleton staff, I think. But
I
this
think
is a great time to go.
October.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's
And Bill Kalina from Coastal, the director, executive director of Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, is a regular guest on Maine Calling. And every year he comes, every time he comes into the program, he talks about the records they are breaking. Mm. Already far more visitors than they ever expected. Already big plans to expand, to build an arboretum, not an arboretum, I'm drawing a blank. What's the name of big, beautiful glass?
Greenhouse.
Even bigger than a greenhouse. Oh, my gosh.
Super
conservatory.
Greenhouse. Oh.
That's going to. So, Sarah, thanks for that tip. And I'm sure Bill is grinning if he's listening. But it is a really, really beautiful place. We are out of time. Thank you for all your tips. Hope you all get out and enjoy these last weeks of August and September and October. You know, we all know that this is the prime real estate of the calendar here in Maine. Thank you, Sharon, Brian, and Tony. Sharon Nickerson, travel agent for AAA Northern New England. Brian Kevin, managing editor of Down East Magazine. Tony Cameron, director of marketing and communications for the Maine Tourism Association. Jonathan Woodward ran the board today. Cindy Hahn answered your calls. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our archives at mainecalling.net. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.